turn again to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, last Thursday, we stopped at verse 54, so we'll continue verse 55 and following. Those of you who are listening to us, if you'd like to call us, 856-854-4742, that's the number, 856-261-9018, that's our calling, or email us, questions at bftbc.org. 856-261-9018, glad to have a call or question with us. However, verse 55, let's read 55, 56, and 57 of Matthew 27, beginning of verse 55 together. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. By verse 55, what were these women doing at the cross? In verse 55.
Watching.
They were watching and beholding. What does it mean, afar off?
They were standing in the distance.
In the distance. Who do you think would be right close by to the cross? Watching and standing.
His mother.
Probably his mother. Who else might be there?
The soldiers.
John.
Probably John, the Apostle John, and the soldiers. They wanted to be sure everything was proper. They were far off. They were beholding the Lord and all the things that happened. Notice, what was true of these? How many women were there? Just a few? Just a few women?
Yes. Many.
Many. Many women. That's right. Behold, what did they do? How did they know the Lord Jesus when he was on this earth?
They followed him.
Followed him. They were followers of Lord Jesus from Galilee. Where's Galilee? North, south, east, or west?
From north.
It's north, way up in the north, by the Sea of Galilee. It's way up north. Followed him from Galilee. Apparently they were Galileans. And what were they doing following? Is that all they did was following?
Ministry.
Minister. What is that word, to minister unto him?
Serve him.
Serve him, all right? Now, do women have a place of service for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do they?
It depends on who.
Depends what kind of service it is, but do they have a place of service?
Yes.
Yes, they do. They certainly do. And these women were not out. What is it?
Washed his feet with her hair.
That's right. There's a place of service, place of ministry. Do we believe the scriptures teach us that one of the places of women is to be in the pulpit preaching, women preachers?
No.
Would it be that scripture? No, we do not. That's not scripture. But other things, like these women, I'm sure, ministered unto him. Notice, it wasn't just for their own glory. It was unto him, unto the Lord Jesus Christ. All of our service should be for him, not for ourselves. You suppose they boasted how they served and ministered to him? Think these were boasting women?
No.
I don't think so, no. They followed him, they ministered to him. Then in verse 56, it lists three different Marys. Who's the first one?
Mary Magdalene.
Okay. Among which was, among that group of women, see, there are many, but they just named three. Who was Mary Magdalene? What do you know about her?
She had several demons.
Several demons, and they cast out of her. Mm-hmm. And what else do we know about her? Was she the one that was the Mary of Bethany that wiped his feet with her hairs? Was it Mary of Bethany?
Mary of Bethany. Yeah. And there may have been another person that I don't think was named.
Uh-huh. So she, out of whom to cast the
seven devils?
So she was, after she had this exorcism of these demons, she served the Lord, was very faithful, and she was there at the cross. Who's the second Mary?
Mother of James and Joseph.
Right. Now, we don't know exactly much about this Mother Mary. There's several Marys in Scripture. James and Joseph. What do you know about Joseph? Was not one of the disciples named Joseph?
No.
And Matthew? Let's go to Matthew or Luke, where the disciples are listed.
Was that one of the brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ?
It could be.
James and Joseph.
Joseph, it could be. Is it Luke 11? The ones are listed? Let's take a look at these. We don't always remember all the disciples and apostles that were there. Was it 11 of Luke? Somebody find it there, but can see. I finally got to 11. Is it 11?
Yes.
Now we need
Anna. No, what is it?
We need Anna.
We need Anna. She was over there. He called his disciples. Apparently, I was wrong on that chapter. Well, someone look it up for us in the internet on the computer, please, and call us 856-261-9018 or questions at bftgc.org. Chapter 9, the 12 were set forth to preach.
Okay, here they are in chapter 6.
Chapter 6. Okay, read off those, please, if you would, please, Tammy.
Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor.
Okay, Joseph wasn't there, so he's this was a different Mary, and she was not. It seems like Joseph has mentioned some of the place in Scripture, and I don't know exactly where, but I think there was another Judas, I guess, but not Joseph. All right, so this Mary, what's the third Mary that's mentioned that was gathered?
Just a mother, it didn't say Mary.
Okay.
The mother of Zebedee's children.
Okay.
James and John. John and James.
John and James. Mm-hmm. And what was her name?
Was it Mary?
Yeah, I think it was Mary.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I think it was Mary. Was it not? Mary, the mother.
I didn't know we knew.
I thought that we did, but.
Sons of Thunder.
Sons of Thunder, that's right. Questions at bftgc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call.
She was there.
Tell us, look it up there and see what was the name of the mother of James and John, sons of Zebedee. We got Zebedee, the father's name, but it seems like it was maybe not. All right, so these three women were there and ministered to the Lord in their lifetime while he was here and watching him at the cross. All right, as Tammy said, one of the names of the James and John were what? She mentioned it. What were they called?
The Sons of Thunder.
Sons of Thunder. Boanerges.
I thought Mary's mother was there.
The mother of the Lord, Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
It could be. Yeah. It seems like she was there because in the Gospel of John, remember, behold thy mother.
Not to say it, though.
No, not here in Matthew, no. But
I think in John.
Mm-hmm. So these Gospels, they have different angles, different pictures. To get the whole picture, you have to read all of them, know all of them. So then in verse number 57, what time of day was this at this time?
This
time. Pardon me?
12 to 3.
Okay, but what does it say in verse 57? What time of day was it here?
57?
Yes, verse 57.
Oh, even.
What would that be, even?
6 o'clock.
About 6 o'clock.
See, when did the Jewish day begin?
6.
6 in the morning. And when did it end?
6.
6. Okay, yeah. Sam?
In John, this is the passage that Mom's talking about. It talks about how it says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas,
uh-huh,
and Mary Magdalene. So it's possible that Mary Magdalene could have been moving around too.
Yes.
His mother was right by the cross, but
yes,
these other women seemed like they were far off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
right,
she could have been walking back and forth a little, mm-hmm, bit.
All right, so that's good, thank you. So even was about 6 p.m. when it began. That's the end of the beginning of the next day, so that's the end. But even has come. What day do we believe that was the day of the crucifixion, at least as they crucified him? What do we believe was happening on Thursday?
That was a Sabbath.
Sabbath, okay, it was a preparation day. What kind of Sabbath? Was this the weekly Sabbath?
Some kind of special day.
Special Sabbath, Passover, wasn't it? Passover Sabbath. So just before that 6 o'clock, it was taken from the cross. Crucified Wednesday, but just before it was taken out, before the 6 o'clock, it was almost Thursday at the beginning of the day when even was come. So this is what happens in this first.
So then, I have a question. Yeah, was that Thursday? Was that... It was the preparation for the Passover, which the Passover would have been Friday, or?
Well, I think preparation of the same day, I would think of the Thursday was preparation and the Passover sort of together, I think, of the same day. I think so. So that's why
it takes a long time to prepare for
it. Yes, but they knew it was coming. It was no secret, and they had days and days ahead.
Because they had a
special
night, and the day starts at 6 p.m.
That's right. So you see, this was even preparation. Why did they take the Lord Jesus' body down before 6 p.m. on Wednesday night?
Because it wasn't... They weren't supposed to touch it.
Not touch it, because the Passover, the special holy day, the high day. And so they take it down. So in verse 57, when he was come, what happened at this time? Probably before the 6 o'clock beginning of Wednesday, or Thursday, excuse me, the next day. What happened in verse 57?
Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, came.
All right. He was rich. Now, does the Lord cast a shadow upon all rich men and women? No. Depends on what they do with the riches.
When you cast a shadow.
Does he? Is he against the rich men? What did James say? Go now, you rich men, because these were bad rich men. Remember. And so he really excoriated the rich men because they didn't do things. They didn't give their wages properly. So, but all the other, this man was a man who was a servant of the Lord. What was what's it say about it?
Wasn't he one of the Sanhedrin too?
Probably, I think he was. And what does he call him? Who also was a what?
Secret disciple.
A secret disciple. Well, maybe through secret, but he was a disciple, one of Jesus' disciples.
He was a secret. Probably. Well, he was until this point.
Until this point, yeah. That's right. Who was another secret disciple?
Nicodemus.
And he was a Pharisee also, and also in the Sanhedrin. And so these people, when time came, they appeared. Now, it was, this man were a rich man, and he cared about his riches, and if he was afraid to identify himself with the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe they would steal some of his riches. I mean, siding with the wrong person, but he didn't care. He did not care. What did this man do? He was there. At the cross, there came a rich man. When even was coming, there he came. He saw the cross a little bit. He was there, maybe before the cross, the Lord was saying, no, maybe after. But he came at even. And then let's read verse 50. Did we read 58? No.
Let's
read
58,
59, and 60, please.
He went to Pilate, and
begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his own tomb, no new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre, and departed. Is that 3?
Yes.
59? 58, 59, 60, right? Okay, I just want to be sure. All right, so in 58, what did this man Joseph of Arimathea do at even? Questions will be at tdc.org, 856 261 9018. What did he do?
He went to Pilate.
He went to Pilate. Now, what was Pilate's reaction to the whole crucifixion situation?
He washed his hands of it.
He washed his hands of it. He really wanted to release the Lord, did he not? Mm-hmm. He said, you have two. There was the thief and the murderer, Barabbas, and there were Lord Jesus. And whom I released it, he thought it would be Jesus. Had the Lord Jesus done anything amiss as far as illegal stuff? No, nothing. No sin. But he went to Pilate, because Pilate was the governor. He was in charge. What did he do when he went? What did he do when he went to Pilate?
He asked for the body of Jesus.
What's this word begged mean?
Pleaded for it.
He pleaded? Now, that was something. Is that what normal people do, is to go to get a body, a dead body? Is that normal? Is that what you do and I do? What is it?
Well, if you love someone, you want the body to be respected.
But it's really, usually today we have undertakers and morticians and they go get body, but they didn't have that, at least this time. But he stood out, did he not? There were many other followers of the Lord Jesus. There were many other disciples, close disciples. Yes, Father?
Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered, so someone took it to him.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway, he begged the body, very strong, urging Pilate to give him the body of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That means nobody else wanted it.
Well, apparently not. I mean, normally, when someone who's a Jew touches a dead body, what is true?
They're defiled.
And then if somebody touches them, what's true?
Then they're defiled.
The defilement, the contagiousness of sin was very clear in the Hebrew Old Testament and New Testament as well. So he begged the body. And what did Pilate do when he asked, was asked for the body? What did Pilate do?
He commanded
the body to be delivered. In other words, wherever Joseph Arimathea lived, wherever it was brought that body. I don't know how it was, a cart or some kind, but...
Probably taken to the tomb.
Maybe taken to the tomb, wherever the tomb was.
It's interesting.
Yes.
Joseph probably washed himself.
Yes, possibly so. Had someone.
And he wrapped it up in clean linen cloth and took care of him.
All right. In verse 59, yes, when he had taken the body... So they delivered it to him, and he took it. He may have had helpers, he may have had servants, different ones, rich men.
Or they could have taken him off the cross and given him to Joseph, and yes. Joseph may have had to
just
call
think about
him where he needed to take him.
That was a very...
I wonder if they took the cross down to get him off, or how did they get the dead people off the cross?
I don't know, but they had to get them off before the Sabbath, high day.
The way they put them up, maybe the way they put them up, they take them down?
Oh, I don't know. They had probably cut off the things that were binding them and just have them drop down, I guess.
I don't know.
But they sometimes, in some cases, these nails to attach the...
That's true. So they have
people to the cross.
So they nail them to the cross. They have to pull those hands out and the feet, whatever was attached, the legs, the feet, the bottom.
There's the Rubens painting, or somebody's painting, I'm not sure who it's painted, is that depicts using a ladder. I mean, it depends if that... And there's theories whether it's just the horizontal piece that's carried, or if it's the whole cross that's carried. But nonetheless, you know, if you have to remove something that's affixed to the cross, you have to
pull out the nails or something, see, for the hands. So, but we're not told. We're just speculating now. But they'd have to take them down, and that's what Joseph Arimathea received the body, begged the body. And when Joseph had taken the body, that's after it was taken down, apparently, after he received the body, what did he do then?
He wrapped it in a clean linen cloth.
Clean linen cloth. Did he cremate the body of the Lord Jesus?
No.
No, he did not. Wrapped in a clean linen cloth.
Think how wounded he was, Jesus was.
Oh, yes.
He didn't even look like a human being.
No, the crown of thorns and the whipping and the beating and the slapping.
Joseph must have been a very compassionate man.
Yes, very compassionate. And clean linen cloth. Why wasn't it a woolen cloth, do you think?
What kind?
Plain linen cloth. Why not a woolen cloth, for example?
Oh, well, the linen cloth is what is...
Then it meant something.
The righteousness of the saints is viewed as a linen cloth and fine linen,
that's right. So, it's a linen cloth, it's interesting. I'm not a seamstress or anything of the kind, but then in verse number 60, what did Joseph of Arimathea do with the body that he claimed and begged from Pilate?
He had a tomb that had never been used.
That's
waiting
right.
for him to die, and he put Jesus in there.
Did he buy it beforehand, or did he just buy it then?
No, I think it was ready.
Probably ready. Now, who belonged to that tomb?
Joseph.
His own tomb. A new tomb. Nobody's ever... But she had hewn. How did he hew it? What was out of it? How did he make it?
They dug it out of a rock. We saw that.
We went. Sweet and I went in the 1980s. My mom and dad sent us over there to Palestine, to the Holy Land, and we saw a rock-hewn tomb. Well, that was the right one, or the same one, we don't know. But they claim that's the tomb that the Lord Jesus was.
And where was it? In
it was close to Gethsemane. It's close to Gethsemane.
Uh-huh. And close. And then where they said crucifixion was across the street, like it's a bus depot now.
So it was fairly.
It was a inside. It was a place to lay the body. Mm-hmm. You know, like the tomb. And of course, and then it was all sort of dug out of the rock, this long thing, and so you could imagine that would be where someone could lie down.
Mm-hmm. And
they just put the body, you know, they just leave it there. Mm-hmm. And then maybe when someone else comes, I don't know what they do with the bones. I know what they did in Louisiana, but I don't know what they did there.
So they put a clean linen cloth on the body and put it in his own tomb. A lot of people don't like to share their things, do they? I mean, here was his own tomb. If nobody had been in there, he was going to be buried in once he died. And let the Lord Jesus go in there instead. Did the Lord Jesus stay there very long?
No.
How many days? How many nights?
3 days.
3 days and three nights. And so maybe Joseph Arimathea knew right well, it's all right. He's going to get out of there. I believe the resurrection. And so if he can use it, then I can use it after him. Yes.
That makes me think in Isaiah 53, verse 9, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in death.
Very
because
good.
He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth.
Very good. Made it with the poor, with the rich in his death. Very interesting, isn't it? So he didn't stay there long, but 3 days, three nights, he was gone. But there was fine.
We have tombs today.
Yeah.
You know, you go to the cemetery and
Walt Whitman's got one right down there in the cemetery, is that right?
Yes.
They for name one person.
And then they don't put the body in their plane, but they put it in caskets, and there's room for families, you know, being there.
Of course, Walt Whitman, if you read his notice outside, he was an atheistic, modernist, apostate, lost,
homosexual.
What is that?
Homosexual.
Homosexual too, was he? Okay. So there he is. Walt Whitman would go to the cemetery where son Davis buried. Many times we stopped there. We showed different people. You read what's on there, it's just pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. He wrote The Grass, didn't he? That was one of his poems, The Grass. All right. So he went there and he took the body and placed it in his own tomb, a very important thing. And it was, then what happened after they put the human tomb? What happened after he put the body in there?
They rolled the stone from the door.
Okay, just a tiny little pebble?
A great stone.
Great stone at the door. Why do you suppose that he did that? Yvonne?
Remember, we saw it's a great big round thing that's so wide, but it's round.
Very round. Sort of thin, sort of sliced on like this.
And there's a groove or something where they push it in front.
Grows it, So he wanted to make it secure. He didn't want the vandals and other people that hated the Lord Jesus to get in there, so he put that stone there to guard it at the door. And then what did he do?
He departed.
He left. It's interesting, his work was done, and that was his mission. Let's read verses 61, 62, and 63 together. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day, to follow the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. All right, verse 61. Who was there? How many Marys? Here.
Two.
Now, if the mother of Jesus was not there, it wasn't mentioned, but it could be the other Mary. Could be Mary, the mother of Jesus.
How do you think the mother of Jesus was?
Maybe it was the son of Mary.
She's 30 years.
Yes.
33 years older than she was when he was born.
Yes. Yes, Anne Marie.
When you were asking about James and Joseph, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 55, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas?
Very good. That's his mother, Mary, one of the foster sons of the half-brothers of the Lord Jesus was Joseph. Very good. So that's where
the mother of James and Joseph, that would be Mary. Yeah,
that's right. That would be Mary. So that's interesting. So that was Mary right there, mentioned one of these three women that were there at the cross. Thank you. That kind of winds the thing up, doesn't it? Pins it right down to the Lord Jesus' own half-brother James and half-brother Joseph. All right, and so then in the sinner over against the sepulchre. What does it mean over against the sepulchre?
Opposite.
Probably opposite. Probably close by. You remember in John's Gospel, one of the Marys was there with the Lord Jesus, and apparently she was trying to hug him or touch him or do something. What did he say?
Touch me.
Touch me not.
I've not yet ascended.
My Father, my God, your God. Go tell your brother that I'm not yet ascended. So my God, your God. So that's where I believe that he ascended, placed his blood in the mercy seat of heaven, and as an atonement, like the high priest of old in the Old Testament, as an antitype, fulfilling that type of that. But Mary was over against the sepulchre. Why do you suppose these women were there? These Marys.
It's that
noise. I don't know.
Sounds like a phone.
Why do you suppose these Marys, they were at the cross, why did they go to the tomb there?
Well, people go where the person's buried.
All right. Are there any others mentioned that were there?
They were going to anoint the body after he died.
All right.
So maybe they were doing some preparation work before.
Yeah, the Gospel of John, they tell us about that, doesn't it?
Yeah, that was on the first of the week. So they might have been doing some work, you know, anointing the body.
Yeah. Could be.
People die, people go. They don't have to do anything necessarily.
But you don't think a big crowd went there. Were any of the disciples there?
No, they were scared.
Not a single one. Scared to death except John, the only one that was at the cross.
Peter
and Judas,
came.
Of course, hung himself. But no one cared.
Peter came.
They cared.
Well, Peter had come to the tomb later on. That's right, Peter had come. But it doesn't say he was at the cross, though, does it?
No.
It doesn't say he was at the cross. But he didn't come to the tomb. That's right. Who got in there first, Peter or John? Who got to the tomb first?
John.
Who went in first?
Peter.
Okay. Grand Bunch is Peter. Because he's an older man, probably couldn't run as fast. So John.
They weren't there yet.
They weren't there yet, but anyway, there they were sitting.
He wanted the answer.
What is it?
He wanted the answer.
Who, Peter?
Yes.
He did. He really went in to see it. What did he find when he went in? A little ahead of us,
just a grave clothes.
Grave clothes. That's all. And did he believe?
Yes.
Yes. And then John went in also, I believe, after Peter, and he saw the same witnesses of his bodily resurrection. Then the day of preparation, the next day, only these two were there, but the next day that followed the day of preparation. Now, if the day of preparation was Wednesday or close to Thursday, the next day, what did the chief priests and Pharisees do? What did they do in verse 62? Where did they go?
They came to Pilate.
Came to Pilate, the governor. See, they had a mission. Were these chief priests and Pharisees believers or unbelievers?
Unbelievers.
They didn't believe the Lord Jesus. They were just the apostates. They're religious, but lost, weren't they? So they came together. Pharisees, chief priests, there were probably two or three of each, four or five, who knows how many were there. Chief priests, plural.
They rejected Christ altogether. So.
They rejected him altogether. Mm-hmm. They came to Pilate. Then in verse 63, what did they say about our Savior?
They said he was a deceiver.
Yes, remember. All right. All right, here we got some crowd. Let's see. Hello, yes, Dick Carroll from New Jersey.
Yes, good evening, everybody. I'm a little bit late, I think, but you were talking about the disciples. None of them were there at the tomb. I want to refer to Luke 18:34, and this is remarkable. disciples just before they came to Jerusalem for the crucifixion. And they said, for we shall be delivered, that Jesus talking about himself, for we shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitted and treated and fully and treated and spitted on, and we shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. But those who remarked the whole thing, none of the disciples were way around the tomb to watch him rise from the dead, because verse 34 says, and they understood none of those things, and the saying was hid from them. So Jesus told them just what was going to happen, but they didn't believe it, they didn't understand it. So when he was put in the sepulcher, they were nowhere around. And even they didn't disappear even after his resurrection, until the women came that resurrection morning, and the one found the disciples and they came running. So I thought that scripture would be on what we've been talking about.
Very good. Thanks, Dick. Appreciate that. Let's wave to Dick Carroll right here in New Jersey. Thank you for that comment. Very good scripture. And that's true. It didn't come until after the resurrection to see the tomb. It didn't come while he was there. That's right. They didn't see him there. All right. And so these chief priests and the Pharisees, they came together and they said, remember, what did they call Lord Jesus?
A deceiver.
A deceiver. What is a deceiver?
Someone who lies.
Lies and that doesn't tell the truth. And was he a deceiver?
No.
Now, if he said, I'm the Son of God, and he wasn't, what was it?
Then he would have been a deceiver.
But if he said, I'm the Son of God, and he was, what does that make him?
Son of God.
Son of God and true. And of course, so he was. They thought he was a deceiver. Judas Iscariot was a deceiver, parading about as a disciple who wasn't. What that deceiver said while he was yet alive. What did he say? What did they quote? What did they quote that he said in verse 63?
After 3 days, I will rise again.
After 3 days, see? So you got to be very careful, they said. Got to be very careful. Let's read 64 and 66 and see if we can finish up. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, as the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. What did the disciple, rather the chief priest, ask Pilate to do in verse 64?
They wanted to secure the sepulchre.
Or make it sure. Command. Please, Pilate, command. Sepulchre to be sure. Till the third day. 3 days and 3 nights he was in the tomb. The third day. Why did they want him to make it sure?
They didn't want anyone stealing his body.
All right.
Saying that he was risen from the dead.
The disciples come by night, especially, to see him with, and say he's risen. So, now, remember in other Gospels, the guards, what happened to the guards?
They fell asleep.
And what did the Pharisees say that the guards were to tell about the story? What was the lie that they were to tell?
That the disciples came and stole the body.
Against sleeping guards, witness, disciples stealing the body?
No.
No, it's impossible. Ridiculous. But they want to make it sure, lest he would rise again. Steal him away. Say to the people, he's risen from the dead. The last error worse than the first. What does that mean? The last error worse than the first.
What error say, them, if they said that he was resurrected when he really wasn't, mm-hmm. that would be worse than the Lord Jesus saying that he was going to rise in 3 days.
All right. Last.
But I mean, it's not an error.
Worse than the first. No, they rushed either way.
They just thought it was.
And in verse 65, what did Pilate do? Did he set the guard for his own Roman soldiers?
Mm-mm.
What did he say?
You do it.
That's right. He had a watch. You know,
Good for him.
I'm not going to have anything to do with it. You set to yourself with these unbelieving people, and you set it there and make it as sure as you can. What does that mean?
Make it as sure as you can.
Don't let anybody say that you get in there.
It's your responsibility.
Your responsibility. You're in charge. Then what did they do in verse 66? These Pharisees.
He sealed the stone.
They went, made service, sealing the stone, and what else?
Saying guarding, and so on.
Did the Lord Jesus need to have somebody roll away the big stone?
No.
No. But the disciples need to roll away the sea in. And they, what did the women say as they were approaching it?
Who's going to roll the stone?
Who's going to roll away the stone? See, when they went there, what was true of the stone?
It's already rolled away.
As we get a little ahead of the story, we'll pick it up. We'll say the Lord about it next Thursday. But do you have any other comments or questions before we close down? Quite a story. It was true and not false. Now let's close in for the word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for this narration, this truth, these facts concerning our Lord's crucifixion, hated by these men. We thank you that the centurion said, "Truly thou art the Son of God." Thank you that one of the malefactors said, "Lord, what shall I do? And today thou shalt be with me in paradise," he said, because he trusted the Savior. We thank thee for this. We thank thee for Joseph of Arimathea. Rich as he was, did not hold back to take it upon himself to take the body, put it in linen cloth, and put it in his own tomb, hewn out of rock. We thank thee, Lord, for this man, his testimony, for these women who were ministers unto the Lord Jesus and disciples. So help us to do that same, minister to him all we can, to be good disciples, that he may one day say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And help us on the Lord's Day as we come back to worship thee, supply our needs and take care of us, and those that are listening to us and for us. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. All right, thank you for coming.